If you bark, meow, quack, whinny, or have someone in the house that does, this is the talk show for you. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35. Welcome back to the Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS. Rick, in this segment, we've got an interesting opportunity. I've spent a lot of time driving up and down Lake Lansing Road in my time at MSU, the time that I've worked in the Lansing market, and yet I never had any idea that I was about a half mile away from a barn with a whole lot of horses and a whole lot of nature. And I discovered a really cool place. It's called Nottingham Equestrian Center, and we've got with us the owner, Cheryl Connell Marsh, who is the owner and one of the trainers there. Welcome into the studio, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you. We've been talking about horses today, and I guess the question I've got for you is, in looking at your biography, you're an MSU student who's working at Nottingham, and next thing we know, you are the owner. How does that happen? Because I don't think there's a degree plan at MSU for the ownership of a horse farm.
Well, they have a very good horse management program at MSU, but no, there's nothing specifically for owning a barn.
Okay.
I actually was going there in the graduate program in wildlife biology.
Okay.
And was working on my master's in reintroducing the osprey into Lower Michigan for the DNR. So I was all set to finish my degree and pack up and move to Tennessee and marry my husband when the barn went up for sale that I was working at. Mm-hmm. And so after months of not any offers, they finally decided they were going to subdivide the whole farm up into smaller houses.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought of 10 houses on this beautiful property was more than I could stand. So I got a bunch of our boarders together and said, there's got to be something that we can do to buy this barn. And then I called my husband, who was then my fiance in Tennessee, and said, this is what's happening. What do you think we should do? And like the good man that he is, he said, I think you should do what you've always wanted to do. I think we should buy a horse barn. So we went into it with two other couples and bought the barn in 1987. And it's been a wonderful experience ever since. And I get to do everything that I love every day. So I'm very lucky.
Well, talking about what you love, let's talk a little bit about horses. This is the first show we've ever had about horses, so the general listening audience probably doesn't have a full appreciation for your love of horses. Why don't you give us a little bit better direction on your passion for horses?
I think the reason that I love horses so much is because they touch something in you that no other animal really can touch. They're the most generous, kind, forgiving animals that I have ever met. I have watched horses put up with terrible atrocities in the past and still come back to people, still trust them, still look to them. And they're an animal that the bond that you form with a horse is like no other bond I've ever formed. And I love all animals. I can't think of an animal out there, honestly, that I don't love.
Rumor has it.
But horses, it's the passion that you feel with a horse and the loss that you feel when you lose a horse.
Yeah.
You can't compare it to any other thing.
Yeah, you know, one of those things I always think about, even in, not to get down the wrong topic, but in pet keeping, we always have to deal with individuals that have lost their pets and they're grieving, and then they're like, you know, I don't think I can have another one. And I always try to do the inside out. I'm like, if there's an inside out rule, the amount of passion you or empathy you have for that animal when you lose them is an exact relationship to how much you really enjoy and have that as a part of your life while they're alive. And just, you got to take that sorrow and just realize that it's a reflection of it, of their inner beauty of life itself and the animals that we're talking about here. And in horses, I'm sure it's a big one.
Yeah. I always say to people, when they say horse, people will say the same thing to me. I just don't think I can go through it again. And I say, I can't imagine a day without a horse.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Right.
And I for a lot of my boarders, it's hard when they put their horses to sleep. And some of them will go away and try to get through it. I've never been lucky enough to be able to walk away from it. I have to go out there the next day and look in that stall and have that horse not be there. But I'm like you. I always see them for what they were. I see all the happiness and the joy that they brought me. And and that, to me, is worth way more than any of the sorrow that I feel.
Well, on a more positive topic, I'll tell you what. One thing that we had Mike Morgan here, who is a fantastic dog trainer, and my goal with that particular conversation was to kind of understand the world. He was the kind of the advocate for dogs. We couldn't get a dog in here to talk. So we brought Mike Morgan in, and we're bringing you in here to talk about horses. And I think the first thing to understand is, what is a horse with respect to, you know, social structure and frame of mind, so that people, when they think about getting a horse, they understand the kind of animal we're talking about?
Well, as a lot of people know, they are a prey species.
Explain what that means.
A prey species means pretty much everything wants to eat them. They are grass eaters. They live in social herds. They're very social animals. One of the hard things for me to see is when there's a single horse all by itself at someone's house, and they say, well, they're just fine. Really, they're a herd animal, and maybe they're okay. And maybe there are some individuals out there who really don't like being with other horses.
Sure.
But I would say the majority of horses are going to be much happier having another horse. Some people will buy goats to keep them companions or have a cow. It's just not the same thing as having another horse with
another
them.
Horse. And give us an idea. That means that there's going to need to be some space?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The horses, that the more room that they have to graze and be moving, are much healthier horses. The horses that are in smaller areas, that can't move around as much, that aren't foraging continually, those horses are going to have a lot more health problems. And there are some general rules out there for how many horses you should have per acre. But, I mean, we have to be honest. In most situations, you just don't have the kind of land that they're talking about that you should have for horses. And so in our case, we have three different fields. Two are grass and one is dirt. And we supplement it with hay so that we're feeding them hay out there so that they are eating, because I just don't have as much land as I'd like to have for the number of horses that I have.
Sure. I imagine this could be an endless pursuit.
Yes.
So when I'm thinking of a horse, I'm thinking about, you know, you certainly can imagine them, the person that owns them, stroking them and petting them and brushing them. But I also know that they're they can be a bit more apprehensive or tensive. I was talking to some people, and, you know, if you move a barrel in the yard, all of a sudden they notice that. One friend of mine that has a horse was mentioning how important it is to realize that the horses have eyes on each side of their head and see things all around them when you're just going straight forward with them, and they'll be spooked, if you will. Maybe comment a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Because they are prey animals, the senses that they're going to develop the strongest are going to be sound. Sound will scare a horse. Loud sounds, strange sounds coming up. Then if they see something different, just like you mentioned, if there's anything that changes in their environment, you have to remember that that's a possible predator to that horse.
Okay.
So here it is. He's got the whole area all laid out, and then all of a sudden a white barrel appears. Well, that's not where it
used
to be. And so in order for him to survive, he's going to run from it. He's going to stop. He's going to shy. He is not going to go up to something
How do you eventually get him used to that?
With something like that, it's time and patience. And I have seen more people, you know, force horses and, you know, hit horses and require them to go up to something that they're terrified. To me, I'd rather take my time, reassure them, let them take steps up to it. Sometimes I actually even have to get off the horse, because when I'm off him and I'm leading him, it's like I'm another horse on the ground. And so he feels a lot more comfortable when I'm walking up to it. Another way that I do it is with rewards. So if they're afraid of, say, a barrel, then I walk them up to it. As soon as they get up to the barrel, Then I go in my pocket, get a peppermint out, give him a peppermint, and then now that barrel isn't such a bad place after all. It's a place where you get treats.
Sure.
We're talking today with Cheryl Connell Marsh, the owner of Nottingham Equestrian Center in East Lansing. And after the break, we're going to continue our conversation all about the wonderful world of owning and dealing with horses right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. Was looking for the place called Lee Ho.